Here in our second installment of Predestination and Freedom of Will, we're going to start on page 2 with what God knows. We're getting into a category that's very controversial, again, in the Christian life and Christian world about what God does know and what he doesn't know. And I think you will enjoy studying this. So Genesis 18. Here in Genesis 18:19. Oh, by the way, you all have the same notes I do, so if you see me skipping sections, you're allowed to speak up. Good. Okay, so Genesis 18 and verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. He's talking about Abraham. He says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God says he really knew and understood Abraham, and that Abraham would continue to walk with him. He said, I know that guy. He's going to do a good job. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Ahimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Ahimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. Verse 4, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not to me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered or allowed I thee not to touch her. Because you see, they were half brother and half sister. Mm-hmm. So they weren't lying, but they weren't telling the whole story. But God said, I know that you did it in the integrity of your heart. So that's what God knew. He knew that the king wasn't lying or cheating, but honestly saying what he did. Yeah. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. And in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So God said he knew their sorrows. He'd seen the affliction of his people, and he knew their sorrows. So God knew Abraham well enough to predict what he would do. He knew what the king had done was in the integrity of his heart, and he knew the sorrows of his people. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 5, here in Deuteronomy verse 5, just a moment. Look at something, then we'll come right back. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5. Okay. Right. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, in verse 5. I'm in chapter 5, verse 2. That won't help, will it? Better get over there.
You're confusing me.
I know, I'm confusing myself. Deuteronomy 2, verse 5. We read, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. He knoweth thy walking through
through this great wilderness, these 40 years, the Lord God, my God, hath been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. So God knew. He understood their walking through the great wilderness. He was well aware of what they'd been doing, and he fully knew it. Now, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So God knew Moses, just like he said back in Genesis 18, he knew Abraham. Well, he knew Moses face to face. He understood him. He knew him face to face. Then in Psalm 44, Psalm 44, and verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So God knows the secrets of people's hearts. What people think really deep down, he knows. And there are plenty of places. Remember back, gee whiz, when Israel wanted a king and Samuel said, you know, Samuel was going around figuring out who to pick for a king and trying to pick one of the older brothers of King David. And God said, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the Lord looketh on the heart. So God can see into people's hearts. And it's clearly said here. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Let's go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. In verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. So God has very deep thoughts. He knows the secrets of our hearts, and his thoughts are very deep. And Proverbs 3, verse 19. Here in Proverbs 3, and verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heaven. So the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heaven. So he knows a lot. If by his wisdom he can make the whole earth, and by his understanding he can make everything we see up in the heavens, all the stars and constellations and Milky Way. He knows a lot. God's pretty smart. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Here's a challenge for Google. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I mean, you can search a lot of stuff in Google. Heck, Eric doesn't even need Google. He just talks to his phone, and the phone does the work for him. But the point is, you can search for a lot of stuff in computers, but no searching of God's understanding. No computer algorithms, artificial intelligence. Besides, it's hard to plug a USB drive into God and get that out.
There's no plug-ins, like.
Yeah, no searching of his understanding. So, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And then it goes on and talks about it, But let's go back to verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God has thoughts way, way, way above ours, as far as depth and understanding and knowledge. God's way, way above us, which is good. As high as the heavens are above the earth. Well, as you probably know, we have no idea how high the heavens go, how big the universe is. Every time NASA sends up a bigger telescope, they just find a gazillion more galaxies and constellations. It just keeps going and going and going. So nobody really knows. Nobody has any idea how big that is. So, thank you, Mary Rose. Jeremiah 51:15. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. So again, his wisdom is so great, he established the earth. His understanding is so great, he stretched out the heavens, everything you see up there. So God's a very smart fellow, no doubt about that. And this is what the word says. And you see, it'll be like we talked about freedom of will. People make a lot of statements about what God knows. Some of them I don't believe are based on the scriptures. So what we're going to do is we're going to look what he says he knows. And then we'll find there's some things he says he doesn't know. Which some people are going to jump up immediately and say, God knows everything. It doesn't say that in the Bible. He knows a heck of a lot more than we know. But to say he knows everything is different. So you can say that if you want, but unless you read it to me in the Bible, I'm not going to be very convinced. Yeah. So let's go to page 3.
You're talking about the Bible, I
think. Page 3 of your Bible?
What's page 3?
No, I've done that where people give everybody the exact same copy. The Bibles are exactly printed the same. Then you can say, I am on page 923, the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah.
But we don't have that.
We just have a lady.
We're going to page 3, which is Ezekiel 11:5. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11:5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things, I, the Lord, know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. So everything that came into the mind of all Israel, God knew. So he knows a lot. By the way, there's no statement in the Bible that the devil's that smart, for instance. But God is. He knows what we're thinking. Nahum. Ezekiel. We have Ezekiel, then Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk.
Have a theological reason as to why the Bible will never open to the right page.
It's you, Dad. Sorry, I say that.
I'm doing it. Okay. Right.
Sorry, I hate to tell you that.
You won't learn the books of the Bible.
Well, let's not get into that debate now. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There we go. Nahum chapter 1. And verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. God knows those that trust him. Isn't that something? God knows those that trust him. So, he can tell. I can't tell by looking at people whether they trust God or not. But God knows. if I sit and I talk to you for an hour, I'd get a good idea, but I still wouldn't know. But God knows who trusts him. He's very smart. Here, Matthew 6, a little more familiar section of Scripture. Matthew 6, 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, meaning don't be anxious or worried or stressed out. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, by getting anxious, by getting worried, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought? Why do you get worried for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little believing? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what we shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But look at this, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So God knows what we need. God knows what we need there in Matthew 6, 32. God knows what ye need. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought, or be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God knows the things we need. There in verse 32. Matthew 7, verse 11. Well, that's the Slurpee verse. That's the Slurpee verse, 7-11. By the way, I started the recorder on Slurpee time right at 7-11. In case you were wondering. Yep, that's what I did. Okay, 7-11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? You see, even evil people know how to take care of their kids. How much more God, who knows what we need? Great stuff. Matthew 24, 36.
Say that again.
Well, just read. Now, let me read the verse again. It's in Matthew 24:36. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
Thank you.
So evil people can take care of their children. Much more, God knows what we need, as we read in the previous section, and he'll give them to us. Matthew 24, verse 36. Here we go. Talking about in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, when the heaven and earth passes away, which we know is way at the end of the next administration. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So there's nobody that knows when this heaven and earth will end. So the minute you hear on TV some preacher or some doomsday group or some Mayan calendar prophesying the end of the world, it's bogus. Because nobody knows. Only God does. Now, if God started telling people, that'd be different. But don't say based on something or another you know, because it says, of that day knoweth no man, no, not even the angels, but only our Father which is in heaven. So let me read that one more time. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. How about Luke 12, verse 6? God knows a lot, and he tells us what he knows. Luke 12, verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But let's back up to verse 7. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So, I didn't number them. Did you number them? God must have numbered them. He knows exactly how many hairs you have on your head. God is that smart. Romans 11. Okay, Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's a statement about how deep and how rich is God's wisdom and knowledge. How unsearchable are his judgments. Second time we've seen that. You can't search God's mind, his knowledge. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. God knows so much we couldn't possibly find out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? It's a rhetorical question with an obvious answer. Nobody. Nobody has known the entire mind of God or been his counselor. Pretty amazing stuff. And one more in this section, 1 John 3:20. Talking about people who want to think about all their shortcomings and condemn themselves. And 1 John 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Because people tend to want to think about where they goofed up and think about how bad they are and condemn themselves. And it says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And what is that commandment? In this day and time, in this administration, what does God want us to do? Verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Pretty wild stuff. But look at it, verse 20 again. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So I may think I'm a lousy bum, but God knows that he sent his Son to die for me, and that he still loves me, and that I'm born again, and so many, many other things that he's done about me. So I'm thinking about this stupid thing I did, and he's thinking about, gee, you're born again, my Son gave his life for you, you'll be in the gathering together, and many, many, many other things that are great about me. That's what God thinks about, because he knows all things. I just know some silly mistake I made, or something stupid somebody said to me, or somebody told me I'm an idiot. But God knows a lot more, and that's what's cool about God.
You're not an idiot.
Yep. Oh, I didn't think I was an idiot, but thank you. Sort of a rhetorical statement, Mom. Okay. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And so, it's very clear that God knows a lot of stuff. But it doesn't say here he knows everything. But he knows an awful lot. He knows an awful lot more than you or I do. Now, what Jesus knew. There's some things, statements here about what Jesus knew. Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 25. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Oh, Jesus knew their thoughts. That's the main point. Every kingdom divided itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. But the point is, he knew their thoughts. So Jesus Christ knew what they were thinking. Now, understanding manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the likely explanation of that is that God knew their thoughts, and God told Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, which was upon him. And that's how he knew. John 6, verse 61. But again, this is information that is available. They're thinking it, so it can be known. It can be known by God. No, I can't look at you and know your thoughts, but God can. John 6, 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? He knew in himself. Again, likely revelation. Verse 62. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you there are their spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Because you see, God can see people's thoughts. And God can speak to Jesus Christ by a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So Jesus Christ did know who would believe him and who wouldn't. Because God's smart enough at looking into people's hearts and minds that he can tell that kind of thing. And then he can turn around and tell Jesus Christ. Okay, oh, but let's read the rest of this. John 6, 61. When Jesus... Verse 64, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now it's interesting that, as you see in your notes there, in the brackets, even though Jesus Christ knew, they still all decided. It wasn't that God predestined some of them to believe and some of them not. It's just God knew them well enough and could look in their hearts. He could tell who was believing and who wasn't. But they made the choice as to whether they wanted to believe him or not. Okay. Here in John 16, verse 28. Here in John 16, 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. So they were pretty convinced Jesus Christ was one smart cookie. And of course, the thing that made him so smart was he listened to God and did what God told him. And the disciples finally got it. Okay. We're convinced now. We'll believe what you said. Interesting stuff. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, pressure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Great stuff, huh? Okay. So God knew an awful lot. Jesus Christ walking with God also knew a lot. Now let's talk about others, like Joseph in Genesis chapter 40. What others walking with God knew. Genesis chapter 40. Genesis 40 and verse 5. Joseph is in prison, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt had dreams. Genesis 40, verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Jesus said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So, and you know the rest of the record. They tell him the dreams. Joseph gets revelation. He says the chief butler's getting his job back, the chief baker's getting his head chopped off, and sure enough, within a few days, it's exactly what happens. So Joseph knew these things, and he knew them because God knew them. And God somehow knew enough about what Pharaoh was thinking and what he had planned that, for all we know, the orders were already signed. And God could read them even though they were under lock and key, but for whatever reason, God knew what was going to happen. He told Joseph. Joseph knew it, told them. And then he continues to get revelation and walk with God and ends up being hired by Pharaoh to run the country. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Here's Moses talking to the children of Israel. And this is towards the end of his ministry when Joshua is, when he's starting to turn over the reins of authority to Joshua. So he says here in verse 27 of Deuteronomy 31, For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Right. Now it's interesting. Moses knew this. He knew a lot. The thing about it was Israel did walk with God during the lifetime of Joshua and during the lifetime of the elders that outlived Joshua. But eventually, a couple generations later, they ended up doing as evil as Moses said they would. So Moses was basing his rebuke of them on the way they had previously behaved, but remember the older generation died off, and the younger generation went in? That younger generation really stuck with Joshua. They weren't perfect, but they stuck with Joshua and did pretty well for a long time. So Moses is either speaking by revelation of what will happen a couple generations later, or he's just having a bad day and saying what he thought. It doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen. It says, this is what I, Moses, think. And it didn't happen that way. We've all had bad days where we think people are such idiots, they're never going to get it together, and they surprise us. And they get it together. So, that's an interesting point there. All right, Daniel. Ezekiel, Daniel, right after Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 2. So, Dad, even though the back of your Bible's falling apart, the tabs are holding out?
Tabs are holding
out. Good. That's the main thing you need was the tabs.
I have to try.
I know.
Without them, I don't know. Well, I know where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are.
Good.
Job's all proper.
Good. Those are good reference points to start with.
Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Good. Oh, if Kings are down there.
Well, if you ever want to practice them together, we'll help you out there. Okay, Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companions. This is when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And the wise men of Babylon can't interpret the dream, so Nebuchadnezzar wants to kill all the wise men. And Daniel says to the captain of the guard, hey, give us a little time. Let's work on this. So he goes back to his three buddies, verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
Let them know, verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Because he gave them revelation about what the dream meant. And sort of like Joseph with Pharaoh, Daniel got promoted to the top levels of the Babylonian government because he walked with God and God showed him what to do. So God knows a lot of things. And when people listen to God and God tells them and they do what God says, great stuff happens. Good stuff. Wisdom and might are his. Now, there are other things that God says he doesn't know. And these are great records. And everybody, well, not everybody, but I know a lot of people say, oh, they're just figures of speech. God didn't really mean that. Well, he says it over and over. But there are things he doesn't know. And because we have freedom of will to choose, how could God know what I'm going to decide next Tuesday at 9 a.m.? Because I might decide all week I want to do one thing and at 8:59 change my mind. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly have. And there's no indication that God knows what I'm going to decide. He knows things that are knowable. If I'm thinking about jumping in the lake, he knows I'm thinking about jumping in the lake. Now, whether I really have the nerve this time of year to go jump in the lake, which I do, by the way.
You did last week.
Last week. Last 2 Mondays. But whether I actually get the nerve and do it, how can he know that?
Yeah.
But he knows I'm thinking about it, and he knows I have a habit pattern where I usually when I make up my mind, I do it. But that's no guarantee I'm actually going to do it. Hmm. And there are some records about that. Like, remember when Paul was going to Jerusalem, and Agabus comes up and wraps himself in Paul's girdle and said, so shall the Jews bind the man that owneth this girdle. It's actually the Romans that did it. The Jews didn't tie him up, the Romans did. So, interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Now, is it figurative that the Jews wanted to and the Romans did it? Or was it just that God knew bad stuff was going to happen if you went to Jerusalem and it just didn't quite turn out exactly the way the prophecy said? Interesting things to think about. But the assumption has been, just like the earlier assumption we said, that people have no control over their salvation, the assumption has been God knows everything, period. But the scriptures don't say that. So let's read about some things. Now, don't get me wrong. God's still so dang much smarter than you and me. You pray to him and you ask for help. He can do it right there. But there are some silly implications if God knew what was going to happen. Like, for instance, why would he have put Adam and Eve in the garden if he knew they were going to sin and screw everything up so badly? Why would he have done that? Would you send your kids out in the backyard if you knew there was a hole in the fence and they were going to play in traffic in the street? You wouldn't do that. Now, your kids might find a way over and still get in trouble, but you as a parent want to do all you can to protect them. Well, same way, God doesn't go out of his way to goof his people up. He's always trying to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we being people, we still find ways to goof up and things go wrong at times, but God's always in our corner fighting for us. So God says there's some things he don't know. He doesn't know. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand. Here's when God sends Abraham up to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And he's up there, verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Genesis 22:10. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Now that you raised your hand and were about to slay your son, now I know that thou fearest God, since thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And it's interesting, it says in Hebrews that Abraham believed God and was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he believed God could raise the dead. He was convinced that if he did slay his son, God would raise him. And when he raised his hand and God said, stop, then the angel speaking for God said, now I know. That sort of implies he didn't know before. He didn't know how serious Abraham was about believing him and obeying him. When he saw he was willing to slay his son, that he'd waited, a very long time for it. Because remember, he was like 100 years old, and his wife was 90 years old and barren, and they finally had the kid, and the kid gets a little older. And God says, slay him, and he was going to do it? Well, that's why God says, now I know. Let's look at some other things here. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Okay, and here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So it says God led them through the wilderness because he wanted to find out where they were. He wanted to find out what they could do. Sounds to me like a sports coach or a teacher or somebody or a manager sending people out to do a job to find out what they're made of. Just wanted to find out if you could really pull this off. Well, God wanted to know whether they would keep his commandments or not. In Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord thy God proveth or testeth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So if somebody shows up and does a few signs, pulls a rabbit out of their hat, so to speak, perhaps does perform a miracle, but then tells you to go worship other gods, God's going to let him do it and make those claims and make those statements because he wants to know if you're really going to believe him. He's giving you a quiz. If he knew, why the quiz? Why send somebody to do something or allow somebody to go in there and do something if God already knew where they were? Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 29. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city, another word for some of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses, upon whose roofs they have poured incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. That's all they've done. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. That's all they've done is provoked me to anger. Verse 31, for this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Verse 32, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they've done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 33, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But if they have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Now look at verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. Now look, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind, didn't even occur to me that they would do something this ridiculous. Neither even came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So God doesn't spend a lot of time talking about what he doesn't know. But it's clear it never occurred to him that they were going to do something that crazy. It's clear that in many cases he tested and allowed his people to be tested to find out what they were going to do. So, if you get into this, and it's been a while since I finalized this, but Mary Jo and I and a few other people worked on a project several years ago where we went through massive amounts of the scripture. And any time the scriptures talked about what was going to happen in the future, we looked at three possible categories. The biggest one was where God was simply saying what he was going to do. Like, think of the birth of Jesus Christ. It says in Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and be a child. Well, he waited a while, and when he was darn good and ready, he went and found a virgin who was willing to believe him, named Mary, and he impregnated her without a man. He did it. He was just saying what he was going to do. You know, like Mary Rose announced today, we're having lasagna for dinner. And then she made it. So that, quote, foreknowledge was her simply stating her intention of what she was going to do. And if Mary Rose can decide she wants to make lasagna and do it, there's a lot of things God can say he's going to do when he does. So that's one foretelling the future. Another one is where people are so darn consistent in how they live and how they do things, you can pretty well predict how they're going to do. We can do that with people we know because they're so predictable. It's obvious to you and me. And God's a lot smarter than we are. And there's that. That's the second one. And those usually happen, but sometimes things change the last minute. They don't always come to pass that way. The third possibility is what I call absolute foreknowledge, or God just knows. And this is the belief in most Christian circles. God just knows. He knows everything. He knows the future. You know, he knows tomorrow, Tuesday at 9 a.m., whether I'm going to change my mind at 8:59 or carry through with what I told everybody. Well, Mary Jo and I and a couple other people looked through section after section of Scripture, and we found lots of cases of type one, where God says what he's going to do and he doesn't. We found less, but still a lot of cases where God just knew people's habit patterns, that he could predict what they were going to do and he said it. We found no occasions, not one, where the only possible explanation was this, quote, absolute foreknowledge. We didn't find one.
where there's no other way to explain it except that God just knows. So then I'm thinking, why do so many in Christianity, so many people, think God has this, quote, absolute foreknowledge? Because it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says God's really smart, he's really wise, he knows what's in your heart. But then he goes on to say, never occurred to me that you would have done that. I had to go give you a quiz to find out if you believe me or not. You know, I let these stupid false prophets wander through your town and make big claims because I was sort of curious to see would you believe them or not. Why does he say things like that if he already knew? Why does he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden knowing they're going to screw up and, you know, curse mankind for centuries till the Messiah comes? I mean, there's so many cases in the Bible where if God knew ahead what was going to happen, he's nuts. Because he does things and sends people places where everything goes wrong. Why would you do that? So it just doesn't make any sense. It's one of those fields where there are enough challenging scriptures that it's hard to say definitively how much God knows and what he doesn't know, because he's so much smarter than we are. And I'm not pretending to do that. What I'm doing is sort of debunking the common Christian concept that God has absolute foreknowledge and knows everything that's ever going to happen forever. Whereas the scriptures are pretty clear that we have freedom of will, and he's got to wait and see what we want to decide. So, I think that's enough said on that, but it's something one could spend years at. If any of you guys want to sort of reinvigorate a study project sometime, I know that, again, Mary Jo and a couple others of us worked very hard on it, made some progress, but then at least I can't speak for everybody in the group, but I got busy and sort of dropped it and looked at it for several years. But it'd be fun to pick it up again. And so, and maybe we could publish a book called Foreknowledge What? Or something like that. It could be fun. But I digress. Okay, I think it is probably time. We've been at this an hour. I'd recommend a 15-minute break. And, well, first of all, oh, that's all on the recording. I was going to put that on the recording. Well, you all got to listen on the recording. Good for you. I'm going to stop now because we're going to take a break.